fits right into what we're saying here today. You know, joy, that deep-seated pleasure. And, you know, this ties right in with Psalms 100. And the word Psalms has the idea of a sacred song, a Jewish hymn, or a Christian hymn. That's what Psalms mean. And David had written this. He had written this. He's in remembrance of the time in October. A lot of theologians think about this. That was the time of the Jewish feast of the tabernacle, the booths, or they say it now, Sukkoth. S-U-K-K-O-T. Sukkoth. And it's a harvest celebration, or as we would look at it in our American Day Thanksgiving. And so we have so much to be thankful for. But what Israel would remember at the time was when they were walking in the wilderness. And some people look at it today and spiritualize it. They say, well, today we are walking in the wilderness on this earth and we have our promised land, heaven. No, I beg to differ. There's a big difference between the two. We're under the law of grace today. We're not under the law, under the dispensation of the law. And so here we are. We're giving thanks today. And just as Israel would come after a long harvest season, they would come to the temple once a year and they would give of their grain and their grapes and so on and so forth, their first offerings to the Lord. Just like when we tithe here, give a tenth, like it was in Melchizedek's time, and our offerings is anything above that, beyond, because God loves a cheerful giver. And it's not just monetary, but our lives should be a time of giving and rejoicing. And you rejoice whether the person likes it or not. Just make sure for Christmas is around the corner. You make sure you talk to everybody in your family and make sure you're not giving that same person all the same gift. Really, that happened to my brother years ago. We all got a box of chocolates because he loved those chocolate-covered cherries. But it was hilarious. No one talked. And that's the problem today. People don't communicate. But when it's all about the thought of the gift. And of course, we have Christmas coming up too. And so that's right around the corner. And so make sure you take care of your mailing or what have you. So let's look at verse 1. Make a joyful shout. Now that comes through the Holy Spirit, because that's part of the Spirit of God. And as we looked at last week, joy means what? A deep-seated pleasure. We have such joy, peace, and calmness, and everything's together. And so, you make a joyful shout to the Lord with all ye lands. Now, they're coming into the temple at this time. Men, women, children, Gentile, Jew, they come into the outer court. That's the first place you go in through the temple. And so they would be there celebrating and dancing and making a noise, a joyful noise unto the Lord. So they would be doing that. And it says, all ye lands. So people would come in from far and wide. Today, we have a Thanksgiving. You know, we need to pray for the president pardons the turkey. You know, so, I don't know how that got started, but, you know, you feel sorry for the little, you know, meat eater. Turkeys, unfortunately, don't have much of a chance in real life. You watch them out here, and they're so easy. You start with the back one, you shoot that one, you shoot the next. Now, God has given us so much to be thankful for. So we're making a joyful shout to the Lord to that. Psalms 47:1 says, clap your hands, all ye nations, and shout to God with cries of joy. So they would clap their hands. You know, just thanking the Lord, praising God. Okay, when we think of applause, we think of applauding somebody who's done a fine job, let's say, in an orchestra, or, you know, a fine place to be. And, you know, you give, you know, it's like you give thanks. That's why you clap. That's what clapping hands means. Give thanks. That's all it means. But you shout with joy in verse, Psalm 66, verse 1, you shout with joy to God all the earth. Sometimes we just have to let it loose. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And unfortunately, some churches have taken that to the extreme, where at first you're there and you're like, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And you're just like, oh, I'm all into this. And after a while, it doesn't stop. And it goes on and on. And you're like, okay, I'm only here because I want to give thanks to the Lord. Be yourself. You don't have to go with a crowd. And there's been some churches where I've been disappointed at, because some people just take it way too far, to the extreme, as the kids would say. And my spirit doesn't bear witness with that. But there are times when we want to give thanks to the Lord. We want to rejoice in the Lord. We want to give thanks and praise and honor to Him. And we should, because that's what we're, one of the reasons why we are created, what? To have, to worship. Worship God in everything that we do. Even, yes, even pastor driving around down the road in my car, yes. We should have our eyes focused on Him, to glorify Him. So, Psalms 95, 1 says, come, let us sing for the joy of the Lord, for let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. We're thankful, you know, because of our salvation. Isaiah 12, 6 says, shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. God is holy. There's only one Holy One that could forgive us of our sins, and that's Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became what? A sacrifice on the cross for us. When I look at my day-to-day living, I'm like, I'm so thankful, Lord, that, you know, I don't have to work my way to heaven. Isn't that great? I was telling Sunday school, I said, you know what? We have an inheritance. Everything that you see around here in this world, as it was, one man inherited this. I was reading about him. One man had inherited this castle with this thousands of acres. And he looked at this other gentleman. He says, you know, that's great, but I have an eternal heaven inheritance. It means the whole world will be mine. You know, what is it worth for a man today to gain the whole world yet lose his own soul? What does that mean? It means he's living it now, what he wants. And his expectations can only come up so far. And his pleasures are only short-lived. God's joy is a deep suit of pleasure through the Holy Spirit that never ends. We're always giving thanksgiving to Him. Always giving thanks. And then Isaiah 26:19 says, you who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. So when one day, if we die before the Lord comes back, I'm talking about the rapture, or He may come back at another time, that if we go home to be with Him, then, you know, God is going to resurrect our bodies, and we'll be together with Him. Like, you know, those who are dead in Christ will rise first, and those who remain should be caught up together with Him. Our bodies will turn into dust, okay? And He'll miraculously change everything to spiritual body. Our soul is us, that person. That is what a soul is. Spirit, of course, we have a spirit that we came into this world that makes us alive, to function. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, right? And then you have your body, that part that you take care of, that you look in the mirror every morning, you have to adjust this and that, and you take good care of your body. So it's made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And one day we will wake up and shout for joy. So make a joyful shout unto the Lord, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. It has the idea of happiness, cheerfulness, delight, and glee. Sometimes we can't always be like that. And, you know, our gladness comes through the joy of the Lord. Our joy, it comes through that, through the Spirit of Christ. How can we serve the Lord with gladness? That's a good question. How can we do that? Well, a lot of it deals with our attitude day-to-day living. As we look at here, are we people with grateful hearts or positive? Do we have a positive? Do we look for the good in everything in life? Are we aware of God's presence in our life? This will help us along. That's through the Holy Spirit. All right, through His Word. Are we humble? Do we have a humble, like, gratitude? You know, it's so much better, as one person put it, being humble than being proud, because proudful people have noses up in the air and they trip and fall all over themselves. Pride comes before a fall. Peacefulness. Okay, a test of gratitude. You know, the peace that passeth all understanding, you know? You know, I'm content. I'm happy. I don't have everything I want, but I have my needs met, you know, and just, I'm okay. And then, being thoughtful of others to test our thankfulness. You know, am I doing everything that I can possibly do? Am I doing everything I can to help other people out? Have I really thought it through? Have I really prayed about it? I was telling the Sunday school, I said, you know, prayer is so important because I forget a lot. And I said, you know, prayer always reminds me, oh, that's right, I need to do this. Thank you, Lord. So I got to check that box up, and I got other boxes I need to check through the day. Am I being generous with my time to other people? Am I being generous to the Lord? Am I being, you know, and if you do that, God will be generous to you. He will. He'll give you the desires of your heart. As long as you delight in Him, He will give you that desire to serve Him. And of course, being unselfish. And that's a tough one because we're always at war with ourselves, especially if we had to travel this weekend. You know, oh, I wish this person would get out of my way. They're going so slow. And then you realize why they're going slow, because you were going fast with the other person. And there's a policeman up right up the road there. And so you gave thanks. Thank you, Lord. Okay. And make sure if you get pulled over this weekend, I hope you don't, but just tell the police officer, be honest with them. And pray. And don't try to bribe him. Just, you know, treat him. He's a normal person just like you and I are. Okay? Be expressive. You know, there's nothing better than showing gratitude with a smile. And you know, I get around people and they're just contagious. I mean, they're, is that the right word, being contagious? No. They're just, you want to be around them because they lift you up. Their smile, they're you know, just wonderful to be around with. And then, of course, they're, be friendly. Try not to be a grump or an enemy, or, you know, thinking, well, I don't like it. You know, and, you know, a lot of people, you wonder why people don't want to be around other people, because, you know, there's no smile, they're just grumpy, they're just mean, as a, you know, a dog without food for 3 or 4 days. And be motivated. Be grateful to be motivated. You know, come on, let's do this. Let's throw out ideas. Let's try to stir the pot. My pastor used to tell me, "Hey, when you're thankful, you're stirring that pot. And you know, if God's in it, you're going to have an aroma about you. You know, something that people are going to think. You know, I want to be around that person. It's all these good things always coming from him." Servant-hearted. I don't have to say that about our church here. We have servants here. You have a servant's heart. You want to serve. You know, today may not be as good as it was yesterday. You might have woken up and you're like, where's my head at? It's over here on the floor. You put your head on your shoulders. You walk around. You're like, it's still hard to think. Some of us just have to go through the motions in the morning just to get going. Then eventually the mind starts ticking. And then you start getting it together. Being faithful, being fruitful, and joyful. So being faithful, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, and being joyful, okay? And that comes through the Holy Spirit. Like we looked at last week, happiness is an emotion, and we looked at the Constitution, where it says in there that, you know, it's the pursuit of happiness. You have to work at things in order to have happiness in your life. Our forefathers knew about that. Even though they had, most of their homes were destroyed, families were put in prison, and they were harassed, all because they believed and being thankful, and our constitution is based on what? The Bible. A lot of that comes from that. So, serve the Lord with gladness, and then come before His presence with singing. I usually don't do this. I'm going to ask Hope to come on up, and we're going to sing a song out of our hymns, and it's already been approved by our board in the past, so I was like, okay, I got a clean conscience. I'm good. Hymn number 11. It's always good to have a hymn with you. Because this song, as I was doing this sermon, I was thinking, Lord, my tribute. Turn to page 11. This is verse 3. It says here, come before His presence with singing. And, you know, if you want to sit, you can sit. If you want to stand, you can stand. And, you know, so do what the Lord tells you to do. And we're going to sing this song. My voice is not doing too well today. That's why I had Hope come up. So if I mess up, you can hear her. So, okay, here we go. How can I say thanks for the things You have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet You give to prove Your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, O Lord, to Thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He hath done.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And I should have turned off my mic here. They're like, oh, he's okay. Thank you, Hope. Thank you all. So, in other words, we come before His presence with singing. And, you know, I just couldn't get that song out of my head this week. I was like, I got to sing this. So it's not like every sermon I'll do that. So, you know. And so verse 3 says that the
So we know that he is God. What in our even in our Declaration of Independence, it says, here we hold all these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And by the way, that just shoots all the pieces of the woke philosophy, because they're saying the white man is the cause of all our problems and divisions, especially the rich white men. So woke is very godless. It's very, as I'd put it, earthly or satanic or demonic. And so it says here, and all men are created equal, that they have endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights. And it ends with these words, with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our so as we see that, you know, he is God, he has made us, he has created us. It is he who has made us and not of ourselves. Psalms 139, I'm often remembered this, and I know in January we will be looking at Roe versus Wade. And just remember, it's up to the states now. The Supreme Court said it's no longer a federal law, it's a state law. We've had over 80 million babies aborted, and we just need to pray for our country and say, why is that such a big deal? One, you know, a person can ask you and say, because we were created in the image of God. That's Satan's one attack. If he can destroy the babies that were created in the image of God, you know, Psalms 139, verse 13, for you formed me in my inward parts. You covered me with my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret, I skillfully wrought you in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet uninformed. And your book, they were written there, and that's our DNA, because that's what makes us there. The days are fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. This really hits home. He really loves us. And it says here, and how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than the number of the sand. Can you imagine God thinks that much of us? And I'm sure we've all been out to a sandy point or a beach. Innumerable the thoughts that God has toward us. I to this day, I still don't understand salvation. I don't. I know it's by grace through faith, but why me? You know? And then you see him working through you, and then you can give the thanksgiving. When I wake, I am still with you. So we give God the praise, the honor, and glory. And he gives us life every day. No matter how troublesome a night we have had, God is still there. When we're going down the road this week to visit family or whoever, God is still there with us today. And so, and he who has made us and not of ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The sheep of his pasture. You know, a shepherd always looks out for his sheep. He's always there to care for them, to feed them, protect them from predators and wolves. And thank God we have a good church here today. We really do. We have strong doctrine. We have good leadership. We have a good congregation. We have people that care. And isn't it wonderful? We can remember what God has done for us as our chief shepherd. God chose us before the foundation of the world. He's also given us the Holy Spirit whereby we dwell within. We are eternally secure. We have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit. We have an intimate relationship with the Lord. We have peace of God in our hearts. The Lord loves us unconditionally. You know, when you think about this, you are just smothered. You know, I like to take a piece of toast and put butter on it with jam. It's one of my favorite desserts. And my wife told me the other day, and she goes, no, you don't do it that way. And I'm like, oh, boy. It's like, toast comes out, The butter gets on the bread. I smother it around. Then she takes her finger and she spreads it around to all the corners. See, this is how you do it. So you get all the butter and you get all the nooks and crannies. And some of you are like, oh, yeah, yeah, now you're, all right, you're learning. And then you take the apple butter or the pear jelly and you just, you know, whatever you guys like or gals like, and you smear it to the corner. You know, God just smears his love. I'm trying to put it in a better language. And he just, every little nook and cranny that we have, God just makes it so good. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, we are the church, the body of Christ. It's good to be with the people. You ever try to get up here when no one's here and preach your sermon? I used to do that years ago. I stopped doing that because I had to learn as a pup. But you learn. But, you know, God takes care of everything. Lord provides our needs. We have divine protection each day. We have a promise of his bodily resurrection. We have a blessing of God's atonement through Christ, the forgiveness of sins. We have eternal home in heaven and a promise of the resurrection. We've been given the word of God and source of knowledge and understanding. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, as they say. That's just the very beginning. There's just so much. I can't take it all in. We can't take it all in. But God, be the glory. And so we're the people, the sheep of his pasture, as a overshot. He knows how to take care of us more than we know how to take care of ourselves. And so once that's being said, as the people would come into the temple, they would be praising the Lord, giving thanks and worshiping him, and enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You know, thank you, Lord, that I have a place to live. You know why? Because some people don't have a place to live. They live out in the streets. They have nothing. Okay? And we could never judge anybody because they might have been through a lot of mental scars, might have been through a lot of abuse, went running to drugs, alcohol, or just gave up on life and didn't want to be controlled by anybody. And then there's the food. You know, we have so much food. You know, give thanks to the Lord. You realize we have food banks here. We have enough food to go around to feed people. But there's some babies out there today that have swollen stomachs. They have no food, malnutrition. You know, they have to go into garbage dumps to get food every day. They spend the whole day looking for garbage for something to eat. And then we have our clothes. My goodness, we have so many clothes. You go to the secondhand store, you go to Goodwill or whatever there is, and there's so many clothes. Some people have to wear the same clothes every day or every other day, and they have to wash their clothes in muddy, dirty, polluted water. Our health. Very thankful for the very good doctors that we have in our medical facilities. Some people die at an early age because, and some of us I know wouldn't be here right now, you know, me included, if it wasn't for doctor support. I probably wouldn't have been alive past my early teenager years if it wasn't for somebody coming to rescue me. And then, of course, there's our country. We ought to be thankful for our freedom to preach Christ. Some countries, they would arrest you. Some families would say, you know, you're Naramatha. You don't exist. You're not part of our family anymore. You became a Christian. We don't know you anymore. That would hurt. That would hurt. And families are so important. If you don't agree with somebody, at least you don't get along with somebody in your family, at least send them a card. Do something. You know, show some love. Say, look, you know, I love you. I may not like you, but I love you anyway. And here, let me send you a card. Always be open. Never close the door to family. You never know when you might need them. And then, of course, we have friends, very thankful for, and associates. A friend is very close to you. A friend will be there no matter what. An associate will be like, hi, bye, you know. And then we have parents. We're thankful for our parents, even though there's no, when we were growing up, Guess what? You wait, kid, until you have kids. Then you'll understand what I'm talking about, you know? So, very thankful for our salvation, too. You know, I remember the day, the hour, and the time I accepted the Lord in my heart. And I tell you, some of us may not remember that. That's okay. It's okay. Some of us can remember, others can't. But you know you've had a change in your life. You know you're not the same. You know the Lord is working on you. And give thanks. And unto his courts, so we enter his gates with thanksgiving, verse 4, unto his courts with praise. I like what it says here in Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 24. It says, though the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Thank God for his mercy. You know, I was thinking about that the other night. What is the opposite of mercy? Is judgment. Because his compassions fail not. He's compassionate about us. Some of you here are very passionate about what you believe in. Some of you are very compassionate to one another because you just don't talk about it, actually do something. Some of you here, actually, you all do. You all do. Pardon me. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Thank God we have a new day every day. Some days I think about and I'm like, Lord, I'm so thankful I didn't have to repeat yesterday again today. You know, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. In other words, you know, that portion satisfies me, makes me content. You know, I will have to admit that, you know, thinking about the song that I had to sing, I had to struggle whether or not to have hope come up. But I prayed about it, and this is the best way to do it. And the Lord was like, yes, have her come on up. Because I was going to do it by myself, but my voice was failing me. So that was a good thing. And so the Lord is good. Be thankful to him and bless his name. So there was a lady, as you probably remember her as Corrie ten Boom, and her sister Betty was there in Germany, and the Nazis came knocking at the door, and they were both arrested for. Imagine that happening today. I'll leave that one left. So Betty says, you know, why don't we stick together, Corrie? And this is in the hiding place in the book. She goes, good idea, stick with family, right? So they went to the worst Nazi concentration camp. And they went to the barracks and they opened the door, and in her memoir, Corrie says, they could see the fleas flying around. It was crowded with women. Crowded. And Betty said, you know, this is the best. Corrie's like, oh no. I have to rub shoulders with other women. It was so crowded. It was so bad that, well, you can imagine how bad it got. But the fleas, they bite you and they just, you know, they just, ugh, around women. Anyway, Corrie was like, no way. And so Betty says, oh, but there's a reason. So as time went on, they were able to have Bible study. They were able to sing thanks to the Lord in these conditions. Okay? As Corrie looked at Betty and says, am I thinking what you're thinking? You know what? You know, I haven't seen any guards around here. He goes, oh, that's the reason. So that's the worst thing you want to have done, because guards would do all kinds of despicable type of things to men in concentration camps. Kept the guards away. And there, she could see why, even in the grossest circumstances, that God had, what, a reason to glorify him, give thanks to him for the protection. And when Kimberly met Corrie and Moody, she says, there was a little lady, but she was so, she was real, she was genuine. Back in the 80s, she was just a wonderful lady to be around, a true lady. So, the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Now, I was looking for a verse in Jeremiah and I couldn't find it. And as I was reading through Jeremiah, I found a verse that fit right into this passage. So in Jeremiah 33:11 says, "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride." Now, who is that? Who's the bridegroom? It's Jesus Christ. Who is the bride? That's the church. And of course, Jeremiah is writing this and he's thinking about the kingdom of God. But yet the church hasn't been mentioned yet. It's amazing how God does things in our lives, and you say to yourself, why did I do that? Because God's in control of things, right? And he was writing, penning these words, being under the direction of the Holy Spirit, not inspired, God inspired. And God is doing things in our lives, and we're like, I wasn't expecting to be here. And because of this, this is what happened. And I'm so thankful that this happened. I could have been in another place. "The voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts in Jeremiah, for the Lord is good, for his mercies endures forever. And of those, listen, who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord." In Jeremiah's time, apostasy was rampant. We have a lot of that in our churches today. They might have a whole lot of truth, but they have a lot of lies in there. And that is the worst deception you want to be in. And a church is not pure. And the leadership has a lot to be called accounted because they're steering the people away. And unfortunately, we see in our churches that we have a lot of lost sheep in our churches because they're being led astray by their pastors or whoever. Or they can even deceive themselves. Can't put all the blame. Some people have heretical doctrine. Through this, they went through apostasy, and eventually, what happened in Jeremiah, that a foreign nation came in, and the Babylonians came in, and they took over Judea and Jerusalem and that area. That was the other 10 tribes had what? Apostatized. So, it's calling out here to be faithful to Him, to come back to Him. And so Jeremiah can see this down the road where, like as it is today with the church, we're going to be united and give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are that way spiritually, but physically we'll be united with Him. I talked to somebody here before church and I said, when you get to a certain point, when you get old and you're looking at death, you realize, death is the very last thing that God will destroy because God has a reason with death. But death was never in God's plan. It never was. Not until sin came into this world and God had to pronounce judgment. Because God would have had us living for eternity. And we will. Stay tuned. We will pick up with that once we go home to be with Him. There'll be no more death, no more suffering. Give God the glory for great things He has done. And so His truth endures to all generations. Pray. This is my prayer here today. We'll continue to live it. And when we don't, we get it under the blood. And we live it and we get it under the blood when we sin. And you know what? God has a plan to share His word to generation, to generation, to generation. So pray this week as you visit family, with loved ones. They'll see why you believe. Yeah, you're not perfect, but you know what? There's been a change in you, and you want them to have that same thing. Something good for them. And pray for those in your family that are rejecting Christ and turning away. Say, look, it's a relationship. It's not a religion. Hey, I'm saved by grace, an unmerited favor, through faith, through my faith. And you that are online, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, come to Him now before it's too late. There are not many Thanksgivings left for many of us here, but we can give thanks for them and to leave our mark. We've got these deer out here that are running our trees. They leave a mark, right? And they do that for a reason. Pray today that we can leave a mark here. People remember us by Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for what you've done, and only what you've done in our lives, because we can't work our way to heaven. We can't pretend that we're going to heaven. And we certainly know that, Lord, within ourselves we are sinners and we need a Savior. Just pray that today, for those who are online who don't know you as Savior, look at Thanksgiving as just being another holiday. You know, eat a lot, you visit with family, but there's something missing. There's an emptiness in your heart. You need a Savior. You need Jesus Christ. You need Him as Lord of your life because He loves you. Give Him a chance today. Ask Him into your heart by faith, realizing that you can't do it on your own. You need somebody to save you from your sin. Through His blood we pray. Amen.